Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local evangelist at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our program this morning. We cordially invite you to any of all of our services here at Harrodsburg. You will hear our meeting times at the end of this broadcast. We hope you'll take the time to come and worship God with us this morning. Today begins our gospel meeting in Harrodsburg with Brother Mickey Galloway. Brother Galloway is from Lancaster, California, but he grew up not far from here in Horse Cave, Kentucky. He has been preaching the gospel for a number of years, and I know that you'll be edified and you will be able to clearly understand his messages. And we will be meeting Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. each evening. We cordially invite you in any or all of these services and come and study the Word of God with us. We know you will benefit. Last week, we began a short study in the subject of why should one study their Bible. And we gave many reasons last week, and we want to conclude by giving you a few others to think about today. One of the reasons that man needs to study the Bible is because the Word of God has the power to convict the sinner. In John chapter 16, beginning in verse 8, in telling the apostles of the coming of the Holy Spirit, he said in verse number 8, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness of judgment." Yes, God's book is able to convict men of sin. Jesus promised his disciples that such a message would be given to them that would convict the lost world of their sin. How is this accomplished? It is done through the preaching of God's word. In Acts chapter 2, after the preaching of one sermon by Peter and the apostles, men and brethren asked in verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What provoked that question? That question was provoked by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 8, there was a eunuch, reading from Isaiah 53. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I except some man guide me?" And the Bible tells us in Acts 8, verse 35, that he began at that scripture and preached to him Jesus. Now, they came to water, and he wanted to know what hindered him to be baptized. What provoked that question? That question was provoked by the preaching of Jesus from God's Word. In Acts 10, Cornelius was converted to Christ, the first Gentile, by the preaching of God's Word. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer was taken out in the same hour of the night and was baptized by the preaching of that Word. And we see that the Corinthians were obedient to the word by the preaching of the gospel in Acts 18, verse 8. In all of these examples, the preaching of God's word convict the sinner that he needed salvation. A life is of no value unless one understands what is really valuable. A life full of despair and no hope is a terrible life. Salvation is in Christ. And the message of salvation is in the Bible. And that Bible must be studied in order to get that answer to the question of life and the answer of how one obtains salvation. Yes, study the Word of God because it can convict the world of sin. Another reason to study God's Word is that God's Word gives faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith is produced by the hearing and accepting of God's Word as His Word. Why do you believe that baptism puts you in contact with the blood of Christ? I've been asked that. I'll tell you why I believe it. Because the Word of God says in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, when I open my Bible and read, it says, "Or do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." That's why I believe that baptism puts me into contact with the blood of Christ, because the Bible tells me so. When one puts Christ first, all things needed in his life will be added to him. Why do I believe that? Because that's what Jesus said in the Great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe that because that's what the Bible teaches, that physical suffering is temporal. I understand that to be true because that's what God's book teaches. In 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter number 4 and verse number 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, I have faith that my suffering is only temporal because God's word tells me. Everything I believe about God has been produced by my faith in him through the study of his word. If you want to know more about God, if you want to know how salvation works, if you want to know how to be more like him, if you want to know how to adapt his principles as your principles, then you need to study his book. It will produce faith, a faith that will lead you to obedience. If I could give you no other reason to study God's book, this next one would be enough, I would hope. And that is, the word of God saves. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to all those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1, verse 16. The engrafted word is able to save the soul. James 1, verse 21. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, we examined this verse a few weeks ago when we discussed the mystery of godliness that was preached among the Gentiles and believed on in the world. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible gives us some information about the power of God's word. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God has the ability to save man from the eternal fires of hell. How? By acceptance to the message of the cross, one can come to Christ, be redeemed from sin, be reconciled to Christ, be added to the body, and be given a home in heaven as reward for faithful service, if one remains faithful to the commands that are also contained in this book. God's message of salvation is contained in this book. Without a study of this book, you will not know what that message is. Do not take man's word for it. Do not take my word for it. Open up the Bible and find out for yourself that the word of God has the power to save you. According to the Bible, the word of God cleanses and purifies. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of incorruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God has the ability to purify us, to cleanse us from sin. The truth has the power to place man in a position where their soul can be cleansed and purified. Purified from sin. Man is stained and blotted by sin. But through the word of God and the message contained in that word, and by acceptance of the terms found within that word, the stain can be removed, and the condemnation of sin and all of the ugliness that is contained in it can be removed by obedience to the word of God. The word of God can keep one from sinning. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2 verse 15 through 17 to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and these are of the world and not of the Father. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13 and 14, Jesus himself said there are two paths to walk in life. One is straight and narrow that leads to life. One is broad and wide that leads to destruction. Few go in the narrow path. Many go in the broad path. You see, this can keep me from sinning because it can direct me to that straight path. It can direct me to the narrow way that can help me stay on the right road. You see, by keeping these truths in my heart and allowing them to guide my footsteps, it keeps me from the path of sin. Read Psalms 119, verse 11. It keeps the devil at bay. It will teach us how to resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It will give us his devices so we don't need to be ignorant of them. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. A knowledge of God's word can keep your foot away from the path of sin. It can keep you on a path that will lead you to life. But if you lack knowledge, then you will be vulnerable to the deception of Satan and his workers. And you will be led astray. And in essence, in the end, you will lose your soul. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, the last reason I want to give you in our study, or second to last, is it's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32, leaving the elders of Ephesus and Miletus, he commended them to the word of God. Why? So now, brethren, I commend you to God in the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. You see, it can build us up. It can strengthen us. It can guide us. It can lead us to an inheritance. Edification and growing comes from a study of God's word. It's one of the works of the church, edification, to help the saved stay saved. This will assure us of remaining true to God and secure our hope of heaven when we die. We must continue to check the map to make sure we haven't taken a wrong turn on our journey and we've gone off on a wrong path. The knowledge of God's word will help you do that, but that knowledge only comes from study. The last thing I would like you to consider in our short study together is the reason you should study your Bible is because it is this word that will judge you in the last day. In John chapter 12, by the words of Jesus himself, he said in verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my word has one which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The secrets of men will be judged by his gospel," Romans 2, verse 16. When the Lord descends from heaven to redeem those who are his faithful children, and the world and everyone in it stands before the judgment bar of Christ to give an account of the life that they lived, what will be the standard of judgment? What will be the thing that our life will be measured against? It will be against the Bible. And the works that we have done in this life and the decisions and choices we've made will be put by the standard of God's word. And by that standard, we will be judged. Doesn't it make sense, dear listener? If that standard is going to be the thing that faces us in judgment, for us to know it today, to make sure that we're ready when we have to take this final test? If there were no other reason to study God's word, wouldn't this be enough to know that it's the standard by which you will be judged? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, studying the God's word, very vital, very necessary. We hope you'll spend time in God's good book. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.